that it feels like and it seems like that God is doing something fresh and new here at Fountain of Life. I've been pastoring a long time, and I've pastored churches through dry seasons. I've pastored churches through blessing times of the Lord. I've pastored a lot, and I can tell you something. There's moments in the churches when life begins to flow. There's moments in churches when blessings begin to come. There's moments in churches when lives begin to get changed. And I can tell you, after so many years of doing this, that I can spot it in our future. How many of you believe God with me for that? Amen. And the reason why I know that is because I start hearing people speak faith-filled things to me. They start saying things to me. In faith. I've been talking to people who attend this church, and they believe and they see that God is going to use this church to bless others. And that's a very, very exciting, exciting thing. In fact, some of you know Mr. Naju, who works for us in our office, and he's worked there, I think, about 11 years. We just love him. He's a sweet old guy. And anyway, he told me, he said, he's never done anything like this. He said, Pastor Bob, he said, I had a dream the other day. And he said, it was a spiritual dream. He said, and people were just coming into Fountain of Life and coming in and coming in and coming in. And I said, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so I just feel like that God is going to do something. We prayed over this location. We blessed the Lord here. And I just see a harvest of souls in the future. Come on. Can we just give the Lord a hand of praise if you believe that today? Now, at the same time that I would say that, even dare to hint at the blessing of the Lord, I can tell you one thing, that there's an enemy by the name of Satan who doesn't want that to happen. Am I right on that? He's going to fight to destroy that faith and that hope. He doesn't want you and me believing that we can make a difference. But just tell your neighbor today, you can make a difference in somebody's life. You can make a difference in somebody's life. Amen? So let's have faith. Let's dream. Let's work. Let's pray. And let's do this today. Let's take the net of the gospel and spread it further than we ever had. Amen? Amen. So that was my introduction today. So let's jump right into the Word today. Luke chapter 5, verse number 4. And it says this. It's an interesting scripture. Luke 5 and verse 4. Jesus is just calling the disciples. And he says this. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, in that day, in that moment, he was talking about catching fish, right? But it was these very same men that Jesus called, and he called them to be what? Fishers of men, right? So what Jesus does is he often takes things out of the natural realm, and he brings it into the spiritual realm. And I think that as we look at a couple of scriptures, we're going to see something maybe that you've never seen before. And this is what he said, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. How many of you ever felt like that? You feel like, man, I've been working on my life. I've been trying to get ahead. I've been trying to do stuff. I've been trying to get stuff together, and it just seems like it won't happen. Well, we have to believe that it's going to happen, right? Right? And then the scripture goes on and says, nevertheless, at your word, at Jesus' word, I will let down the net. How many of you know you don't have to have the Lord tell you a supernatural word from God, a prophecy or something amazing happened, that someone tells you something in order to work for the Lord, because we've already have that word given to us. Am I right? We've already been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've already been told that we're to be witnesses and a light and salt. Do I have anybody here that's light and salt to a world? Amen? And then he says, and when they had done this, they let down their net. They caught a great number of fish. Notice what it says, and their net was breaking. Their net was breaking. Jesus had been teaching that day on the shore, and they had not caught anything. And how many of you know, man, that who's ever fished and not caught anything? I hate that. Seriously. And then this guy on the shore just says, oh, over here. Yeah, put your net over there. It's like, oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. But at his word, they did it. They had faith. They believed. And suddenly the net was full. But it was so full that that net actually began to break. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing that keeps me going as a pastor, right? There's one thing that motivates me when I get up in the morning and pray. It's my belief that if I'm faithful to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, if I'm faithful to pray, if I'm faithful to do what I need to do, to pray, to love, to care, to reach out, to do what we need to do, God's going to be faithful to fill up the net. Do I have an amen? As we're fishing for men, God is going to be able to fill up the net. Come on, if you believe that God can help us do that, just give the Lord a big hand clap today. Come on. Amen. If you want to see God save souls, we can rejoice before it even happens, right? We can praise before it even comes to pass. Now, the interesting part of this is that the net broke, right? Now, if you were catching fish and you lost a few fish, we would think that wouldn't be a very big deal, right? But how many of you know when you're fishing for men, everybody's important? Tell your neighbor you are important in the eyes of God. You're important. Every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. It doesn't matter the social income somebody has. It doesn't matter whether they're educated, whether they're not, where they're from, what their past is. Every person in the eyes of God is incredibly important. Amen? And so what I'm saying is that we cannot let the net break. We can't let the net break. Why? Because everybody is incredibly important, right? And so I want to take you over to John 21, and it's an interesting thing. Okay, this is the story we just read was when Jesus first started his ministry, right? He was just calling the disciples. Simon Peter had probably just met Jesus that day. And now we take him 3.5 years later, and guess what? The same thing happens. They fished all night and didn't catch much. In fact, they caught nothing, the scripture says. John 21:11 says this, and the Lord had told him then to do the same thing, right? To go cast your net on the other side, the scripture says. And look what happened in 21:11 of John. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, notice what it says. The net wasn't broken. The net wasn't broken, right? The net wasn't broken. And so what I'm saying today is that we as the body of Christ, we as Fountain of Life, I believe that we need to strengthen the nets that we have in our church. Because every single person is important in the body. Every single person means something. The little boy in Sunday school means something. Amen. The little girl means something. Every person is important. And let me tell you, the enemy doesn't want anybody to get right with the Lord. The enemy doesn't want anybody to have a relationship with God. And so let me read one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that it says lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I'm just here today to tell you that the enemy wants to come and cut holes in the net. The enemy wants to destroy what God wants to do. But I want to tell you something. We have the Word of God. Come on. We have the Bible that we can believe and we can trust. Right? That God is going to give us the ability to have the cords we need to wrap up the net so that when we launch our nets out, amen, no one will be lost. Come on. How many of you think that's a good thing? So let me give you some cords today. 5 cords we can use to mend the net at Fountain of Life Christian Center. And I'm going to have to move right through this today. Number one, first of all, we've got to deal properly with offenses. Deal properly with offenses. I like that picture, right? Steam coming out of her ears. I just tell you, whenever God starts to move in a church, the devil wants to cause offenses. Am I right on that? Sure he does. And that's why, as believers in Jesus, every person has to be very careful about what they say. How many of you think that's good advice? We've got to be careful what we say. And did you know this, that your tongue is a flamethrower? I'm just preaching the Bible today. Your tongue can set your house on fire. Your tongue can burn your marriage to the ground. Your tongue can burn your church to the ground. Your tongue can destroy your children, setting them on fire. This is what the Word says, all right? James says this. It says, he says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Wow, that's some powerful stuff that James said. He must have seen some people being really ugly to one another, right? He must have seen some stuff burning down. And he says, listen, we got to watch what we say with our tongues. Am I right? I love what Tommy Barnett used to say. Tommy Barnett is a great pastor out at Phoenix First. And he used to say, listen, he said, I tell my people, listen, I don't want any negative or critical or ugly word to be said within 20 miles of this church. I think that's pretty good advice, right? And so I'm going to give some advice. You know, some people just think, I just got to say something. Well, let me tell you what to do. If you really got to say something that's critical and ugly, let me tell you what you do. You get in your car and you go about 50 miles west from here, right? You find a cotton field out there where there's nobody around, and then you say it right there. And then after you get done saying it, get down on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry for speaking those negative words. Come on. I'm just saying today that we've got to say the positive. We've got to say the good things. We've got to encourage one another. Your grandmother called today, early in the morning, and she told me to remind you of this, that she told you all along these words, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. That's good advice from Grandma, right? Amen. And, you know, there's sometimes people think, you know, well, it's my job to go around correcting people. No, it's not. It's not your job. It's our job to go around encouraging people, building people up. How many of you know it's hard enough out there in the world, right? Your boss is on you. Hopefully your wife is on you, your husband. Hopefully that isn't happening, right? But let me tell you something. Sometimes we live in a world that's difficult, right? We need to be built up. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what's good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Amen. Now, a unique part of church in the body of Christ is that we do speak truth to each other. Am I right? How many of you know we want to hear the truth? Truth is important, right? The Word of God is truth. We've got to speak truth. But there's some, and the Scripture tells us to speak the truth in love, right? We've got to speak the truth in love. So I've got some ideas of some thoughts about that, because you really can't speak the truth in love if you're publicly embarrassing somebody. Oh, that's good, right? How many of you liked that at work when your boss got on that one employee, or maybe it was you, I don't know. Got on, that's not fun, right? Amen. We don't speak the truth in public like that to embarrass somebody. And yet another thing is, you don't try to correct somebody you hardly know. Oh man, I thought I'd get at least one amen there. If you really want to tell somebody the truth in love, here's what you got to do. Let me help you on this. Pray for them first for a long period of time. Pray until your heart is broken for them. Pray even until you can cry tears over them, until you're so broken about that situation, and then maybe you'll have the humility that you need, right? And another thing is, we've got to treat people like we want to be treated. Amen. As we approach someone to say something, we want to do it in a way like we would want someone to come to us. That's the golden rule, right? And let me tell you, when we speak the truth in love, we can't speak it in anger. We got to speak it in calmness and love. Ephesians 4:31 says this, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, right? And you know, I mean, I just picture that, somebody that's bitter about their life, and how many of you know you can be bitter about something that happened 20 years ago, and you know, it's just like down underneath there's a little anger. You can just tap into it anytime you need, and it'll listen, God wants to take that out of you. Amen. He wants to fill you with love, right? And because this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Can I just preach the gospel according to Maureen Rousey? Don't you love Sister Maureen's on the back over there? I asked her a couple years ago, and the question is, what do you do if somebody does offend you? And so I've known Maureen for almost 21 years. And I asked her one day, I said, Maureen, has anybody in the church world, have they ever said something that offended you? And she didn't answer right away. And she looked at me and she said, yes, Pastor Bob, but I don't want to tell you who that is or talk about it. And I said, well, what happened? How did you handle that? And this is what she said. She said, about a week later, I decided to forget it. How many of you know that's really good advice, right? That's really wonderful advice. Somebody offends you, just let it go, right? Just drop it. Walk away. Don't think about it. I mean, don't let the enemy in. And let me tell you something. If we'll be careful about these things, what will happen is our net will get stronger. Do I hear an amen? And then number two, we've got to serve with excellence. If we want our net to be strong, we've got to serve each other with excellence. One of the enemy's devices that he wants to use is that in the kingdom of God, people might start saying something like, well, you know, I'm volunteering and I don't really need to prepare for the class that I teach. It's okay. I'll just come and they use spiritual words. I'll let the Holy Spirit help me teach the class. How many of you know that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God, right? What we do for God, we've got to do with excellence. We've got to do because it really matters, right? Absolutely. There's a saying in construction. Good enough for government work. How many of you ever heard that? It's good enough for government work. And there's some people have the idea, well, it's good enough for God's work. No, let me tell you, it's got to be excellence if it's God's work. Do I have an amen in the house? Do I have anybody that believes that? I really do. When we were building this building, the contractor that we had hired so many years ago used to tell me this. He would say, you know, it's okay for a commercial building. And I would tell him, this is not a commercial building. This is the house of the Lord. This is the temple of God that we're building here. It can't be halfway. Come on. And let me tell you, We've got to strive for excellence in ministry. Someone said, Pastor, what's the best sermon you ever preached? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the one I'm going to preach next Sunday, all right? Because I'm going to work hard this week and God's going to help me. Amen? I just think that we've got to put our best effort into it. A lot of people think, well, you know, the most important thing is what Donald Trump does. Can I burst your bubble for a minute? All right. Donald Trump is not going to save America and the world. The Democrats aren't either. The Republicans aren't either. The government isn't going to do it either. Let me tell you something. The most important work that's done in the United States of America is done by the people of God when they get on their knees and they call out to God and they pray and they believe. The most important work is done when God's people raise up disciples and care for one another and love one another. Come on, somebody. I say we do the work of God with excellence. My mentor, Steve Weaver, talked to me this week, and he was telling me a story that he tells, and he told, it's a great story. It's about a family that came, actually, he said an Indian family came to their church, and they came back the next Sunday, and they said to him, Pastor Steve, we've decided to make this our church home. Now, that's just music to every pastor, right? You know that. And he said, well, what caused you to do that? And they said, well, we like the worship and we like the preaching and we like the friendliness of the people. And, you know, we just like the atmosphere here. But the thing that really sold us is when we got our little baby home and we went to change her diaper, on the front of her diaper was a little sticker that said, this diaper was changed with love. I like that. Man, he told me that. I came right to the church. I said, Mr. Naj, I need you to do me a favor. There's these little stickers that they put on the front of diapers. We're going to get about 5,000 of them, all right? And every time we change a diaper here, we're going to put that on there. He looks at me. You know, he's a great guy, but a little bit on the, you know, do we really need that? You know, and he's like, do we really? Yes, we do, because we want to do the work of God with excellence. Amen. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand of praise. I appreciate our praise team, right? Amen. They work hard because they want to bring the worship with excellence, right? They want it to be not just great musically, but great spiritually, that we enter into the presence of the Lord. Amen. I love what Bill Hybels said. Let me just give you this quote. Bill Hybels is a pastor up in Willow Creek Church in Chicago. He said this: I would never want to reach out someday with a soft, uncalloused hand, a hand never dirtied by serving, and shake the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. Wow. Billy Graham said this: God's given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. I love 2 Corinthians verse 8 and chapter 8 and verse 7. It says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and I want you to notice the next three words, it says, in all diligence. In all diligence. You know what that means? That means that when we serve God, we're diligent about it. We do it with the very best energy and effort. Now, we're just getting started on Facebook Live, but let me tell you, we're believing that we're going to really be able to expand this thing to touch a lot of people, right? And so you're going to pretty soon see more than one camera set up in here, one iPhone, one iPad, and we're going to stream that out live, and then we're going to share it over social media, and we're going to get the message out. Come on, somebody. We can do it with excellence if we work hard at it. Come on. God is going to help us do it. And then number three is this: we've got to trust the Holy Spirit to do His work. As we're looking at what we see God doing, we see a new touch of the Lord in our ministry. The enemy's strategy is to bring doubt. The enemy's strategy is to tell you, well, you know, nah, it ain't going, not going to happen. How many know the devil is a liar? Just tell your neighbor, the devil's a liar. Amen. We got to trust the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. The work of God takes time. And the good news is that the Lord is working with us. We've got to trust the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's, let me tell you something. It's an interesting thing in the kingdom of God, is because you and I, we really can't on our own bring the increase. God has to bring the increase. Am I right? We can sow, we can water, we can plant, we can teach, we can preach, we can love, we can encourage, we can do a lot of biblical things, but how many of you know we can't save anybody because we're not the Savior? We need Jesus to save people. Come on. We need Jesus to come in. He's the one that does the work, right? It takes Him. It takes Him, and I've come to the conclusion that I just can't save anybody. And did you know that when you really get involved with people in life, you're going to discover that it gets a little messy sometimes. Isn't that right, Sister Comfort? It gets a little messy sometimes. You love people, and you know, it's a challenge sometimes when you're loving people. And I this is what I think about any church, and especially our church. This church needs to be a hospital for broken, hurt, wounded people. Come on. This is not a place where perfect people come. Am I right? This is a place where people who need God comes. Because let me tell you, the pastor needs God right here. I'm just going to be the first one to admit it. I need the Lord. And let me tell you something. Here's what I believe, that if you'll stay in the house of the Lord, God will continue to work in your life. And one of the things that I've learned is that you've got to just kind of scatter the seed and do the work and trust God to bring forth the effort, to bring it forth. Mark chapter 4, there's a great parable that Jesus said. I want to read this quickly today. It says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. That's your and my job, right? We're out there touching people on a daily basis. We're out there sharing the gospel. We're out there doing the best we can to do good deeds, to help people, to encourage, right? We're scattering the seed of the word on the ground. And it says, and should sleep by night, So you do that. He says, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full head of grain, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, for the harvest is come. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if we'll believe God, if we'll trust God, that the kingdom of God in and of itself, if we'll do what we can with excellence, that the kingdom of God itself will cause the thing to begin to grow. And how beautiful it is to see that new life to begin to sprout out of the ground. Amen. And then there's a season when things become mature. Amen. And good things continue to happen. You know, one of the best moments of my life was many years ago at North Central Bible College. I got to hear a man by the name of Dr. Paul Youngi Cho. How many of you ever heard of him? He's a Korean pastor. I'm surprised he's still living, to be honest. He's got to have a few years on him by now. But I got to hear him at my Bible college in person. A chapel was packed out that day. Let me tell you why. Because he's the pastor of the largest church in the world. Someone said, well, I think Second Baptist is pretty big. Oh, no, it's not. That's a miniature church compared to Dr. Cho's church, all right? I looked to see how big it was, and the only statistic I could quickly find was one in 2006 where it said he had 870,000 members. 870,000 members. That's a huge church, am I right? And so let me tell you what he did. This is a little thin guy. I mean, just very thin and kind of not real powerful, actually, even in his demeanor. But he walked up to the pulpit, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, I'm pregnant with 100,000 believers. That's what he said. And then he began to explain what he does. He said, I believe God for something. And this is for every person here who's mature. Do you got any mature believers in the house? Prayer warriors in the house? Intercessors? People who know the Lord? People who believe that God's called you to a ministry of intercession and prayer? Listen, this part of it, this sermon, this is for you, okay? Because Dr. Cho says that every seed that goes into the ground needs a period of incubation, right? And let me tell you what God's calling us to do. God's calling us as prayer warriors. If we want to see the move of God continue, if we want to see the blessings continue, what we've got to do is we've got to water it with our prayers. We've got to get into the place where the Holy Spirit is upon us, and we've got to continue to dream and continue to believe. And in a sense, the church becomes pregnant with something, and God brings it forth. Come on, somebody. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, because God can do it. And that's what the Lord wants to do in your life with your dreams. Am I right? You say, well, I'd really like to go to college. I'd really like something else to happen. I'd like my family to be different. Listen, go to God in prayer. Plant that seed into the ground and hover over it in the name of Jesus every single day. Pray over that prayer list and believe the Lord. And I can tell you that there's a God that will answer it in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. The old preacher said, I got more luggage than I can get through the door. That's all right. Some of you will get that in a minute. All right. Number four, another band, another bond, another cord that we've got to have in our churches. We've got to create safe biblical community. Safe biblical community. And the enemy's job in this realm, how he cuts the cord and allows for people to slip away. Let me tell you, he tells us that we're too busy for that. He tells us there's no way we can. But how many of you know that everybody needs friends? Everybody needs connectedness. Everybody needs a group of people who will stand with them in a moment of crisis. Everybody needs somebody on their cell phone that they can call in a moment and say, you know something, I really need someone to pray for me about this situation, and I don't need a prayer like in an hour. I need it right now. Please call and pray. Please pray for me. Come on. How many of you know we need that? That's called community. Many, many years ago, Dustin, my son, most of you know him. He called me up. He and Amy had just gotten married, and they were attending a church in Dallas. And I'll never forget the conversation. He said, I finally get it. I said, what, Dustin? He said, I finally get what it's like to serve in a church and have friends and have people all around you and just be a part of something that's alive and is part of something that's good and it's healthy and it's strong. I'm going to tell you something. That blessed my soul. Come on. Has anybody ever experienced what it's like to be among friends? And let me tell you something. In the church world, it might even be that those friends even know your ups and downs, your weaknesses, your strengths, your bad moments, your good moments, but guess what? They love you anyway. That's what we need in the kingdom of God. People who love us anyway. People who know us and love us, period, in spite of our stubbornness sometimes. Amen. Making room for myself to get into community. Hallelujah. Amen. We have community at times in our church. At times we do. Sometimes on Sunday morning in the class, there it seems like there's community going on. And sometimes on Wednesday when we gather, it seems like we have community. And I know at Comfort's House, there's community there. When they have the ladies' ministry, it's a biblical community. As people gather and they share, they say, please pray for me about this. And they gather and they hug one another and care for one another. Come on, it's beautiful, right? Amen. We have it at Celebrate Recovery as people come in and they're able to say, this is what I'm really going through. And not a person interrupts them. We don't even have to try to even change them. You know what we do? We let God do the changing. Amen. We value biblical community. And this is what the scripture says. Let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm just here today to tell you that one of the issues that we have as a church is we've got to believe God for small groups and small group leaders. I need that so desperately. The Lord needs it, not just me. The Lord needs it. Let me tell you why. Because I know actually, I know how to do this. I know how to, I'm just going to come out here for a minute. I don't know if she'll be able to get me on Facebook Live. I don't know. I know how to go, hey, Jose, man, how you doing? Come on. Come with me for a second, man. Let's go for coffee, man. How you doing, man? Let me buy you dinner. How about a steak? Come on. You want a good steak? Come on. I know most people don't turn down an opportunity like that, right? And then I go, hey, you know, my wife and I would like to have you over. Come on. We just try everybody to Jareen and I relationally. Guess what happens to our schedule? Pretty soon I'm letting Jose down because I can't be that close to him. I can't be his friend every single week. I can't call him every single day. Why? Because we're all too busy. Am I right? That's why we need those small groups to come together. Some of you are hearing what I got to say. Amen. Well, I'm going to keep preaching it and believing it. Amen. Amen. Why? Because we need biblical community and love. Amen. Amen. Okay, let me give you the last one here today. Are you still with me? Wake up your neighbor. Tell them, hey. Oh, that's all. Sorry. No, you don't have to do that. If they're sleeping in church, they're tired. Let them rest. That's what my dad told me. If they're really tired, let them sleep. Amen. Number five, press to get to his presence. You know that one of the most wonderful things that we can do as a church, I'm talking about to mend the net, right? To make the net strong. How many of you want the net to be strong? The net to be powerful and real. Let me tell you what we got to do. I'll tell you what we got to do. We got to be willing to press into the presence of God. Because let me tell you something, it's the presence of God that holds people in the house. Even more than biblical community, the presence of God has to be there. Am I right? Oh, I love being with friends. I love fellowship. I love going on a road trip to San Antonio with friends and having, I love eating out in restaurants. Come on. Do I have a witness in the house? I love getting invited over to your house for tacos. I love all those things. It's good. It feels wonderful. But let me tell you something, there's something I like a whole lot more than that. And that's when I come to the house of God and I lift my hands to the Lord and I press in and all of a sudden there He is. And I'm not talking about Carlos, amen. There He is. And I'm not talking about Dwight. And I say, there He is, amen. I'm not talking about Prabhu, amen. I'm saying, there Jesus is, amen. And I sense His presence and all of a sudden, something down on the inside of me begins to burn like fire on the inside. Is there anybody in the house that knows what the presence of God feels like down in your soul? That's why worship is not a preliminary. Worship is something that is so important in the house of the Lord. Am I right? Because when we worship God, the presence of the Lord comes. And the more we worship, the more presence that will come. Amen. Because the Lord is looking for people who will worship Him. He likes that. Can I tell you how it is? I know people love to receive compliments, right? You like to receive a compliment, Carlos? I like to tell Carlos, dude, you are really getting good on that guitar. Awesome. Michael, those drums were awesome today. Leo, you're looking mighty fine today, sir. Yeah. Everybody likes a compliment. I know you ladies do. Right? You get dressed up and go, now how do I look? You do it, don't you? How do I look? Look at me. You like praise. You like adoration. You're attracted to it. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. The devil tried to use it to get you to sin. Am I right on that? I'm going to tell you, a man that isn't your husband or a woman that is not your wife, starts to give you praise and adoration, you begin to run the other way. That's good preaching too. Am I right? You run as fast as you can. But let me tell you something. God the Father, He's the one who loves praise and adoration and worship. Am I right? So when we start saying, oh God, look how great You are. Wow, what You can do. You amaze me. You overwhelm me. You know what God does? He goes, oh, I like that. Let me just come down and visit You for a while. Oh, come on, somebody. I say we press in to the presence of God. I say we get all that we can every single Sunday. Because you know what happens when that happens? All of a sudden, somebody can come in and they're just like, wow, what's that? Some of you remember Sean. He used to play the drums for us years ago. He's off in some other country now. But he wasn't a believer the first time he ever played the drums. And we had a service. He came off of those drums. And I'll never forget it. He said, Pastor, you got to remember that this guy's hair was way down to here. He was a rock and roll guy. That's all right. He's saved now. He's saved now. But this is what he said. He said, what was that? I said, what? He said, that was something in the room. I said, what? He said, I don't know. It just felt like some energy came on me. I don't know. I was playing the drums. He's just like, I could play better than I could ever. It was just an energy. Some kind of power came. What was that? I said, Sean, that was the Holy Spirit anointing you to play. He's like, I like that. You know, we've got to press in to the anointing. We've got to believe God that it's going to happen. Would you stand with me today? You've just been so faithful to just let me just preach away here.